Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I am Bill Barnwell. Today, I am joined by a former NFL player, very wise NFL observer, a man of many talents, to talk about the best and worst off seasons of the 2023 NFL season, or the to come 2023 NFL season. It's my friend Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, what's up?
I'm glad to be here, Bill, because I spent a lot of time in the college football arena too, and you know, I kind of been preparing for that as the schedules have been released the last couple of days, the times, and you know that starts in 92-ish days, I think it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to be on here because this kind of got my juices going for the NFL season. Like, I've kind of been hyped for the college football season, mm-hmm. and now I'm pretty hyped for the NFL. I'm hyped for it all. I have the football. it came back last week. I started watching film again, like kind of diving into stuff more heavily. I'm ready for ball to be back. I'm ready.
Nice. So are you getting the itch of like you're switching to NFL Network and hoping like a random regular season game is on from 2022?
No, I started just like watching film of certain things I wanted to look at, mm-hmm. type of thing, like kind of looking at rosters again. And you know, now that all things have settled down, especially again, as I mentioned, college sports, like the portal settled down a little bit. We kind of firm rosters in the NFL now and college football. And again, like the schedule times being out, I think mm-hmm. really make it feel like it's real. And mm-hmm. the OTAs being back, I'm not watching much OTAs anymore. I used to kind of like a lot of it, but it's gotten where they don't really share much of anything. Right. But all of that kind of feels like football's back soon.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it does feel like once that 100 day alert goes off, I'm like, oh no, like we're on our way. Like, like yes. every year I'm like, okay, I have all these projects I want to do in the off season. Like I want to, you know, understand some element of the game more. I want to get my math better. Like, you know, I'm like, I'm going to read 20 books or I'm going to, you know,
never happens.
Yeah. Like I get to the 100 day mark and I'm like, okay, like we're done here. Like we're back. We're just back on football life now. So absolutely. I feel like this is a really good sort of point to look forward, but also to look back. Like most of the free agency, the trades, all that stuff. We'll see what happens with DeAndre Hopkins, maybe as an exception, but like so much of the player movement now has happened with the draft being done. We've had a month to reflect on maybe where some guys landed, the fit. There's been some cuts, some movement. So I just wanted to get your perspective, kind of looking back on, you know, the last 4 months of the NFL offseason to get a sense of where you think some of the best and worst moves were. And I did this for ESPN this past 2 weeks. Did not make a lot of people happy, I would say. Some very angry fans, like there's usually a couple fan bases that get mad at me. I know. This year, I think it was Giants and I want to say Bears, maybe Lions. Giants and Lions, I think, were the two. But I want to hear your perspective, Jeff, because you have a very different, you're very smart, you're very thoughtful, you pay close attention, but a different perspective. You're someone who played in the league, you think about things differently than me, but in a smart way. So I wanted to kind of get your sense of the best and the worst offseason. So let's stay positive here. We'll start at the beginning.
Yes.
Give me an offseason you loved. And explain why.
To me, it's the Baltimore Ravens is one of them, which I feel like they always win the offseason. But I think getting Lamar Jackson to come back and be happy is probably the best move anyone made this offseason. And look, I think we always assumed that Lamar would come back. At least I did. He was always my number one kind of option. The Ravens were for him to be there. But they did get him back. And he's won 70% of his games. Like he wins a lot of football games. That's important. I know quarterback wins and I get it, all that, but like the Baltimore Ravens win a lot of football games mm-hmm. when he is their quarterback. Whatever mm-hmm. you want to, quarterback wins, or whatever you want to say about it, they win a lot of football games when he is their quarterback. They also moved on from Greg Roman and got Todd Monken, who I think when you watch him in Georgia, which he did great the last couple of years, and you mm-hmm. watch what he did in the NFL, kind of the paces he's been, it's going to be more of the quote-unquote kind of pro style, right? He's going to combine the run game and the pass game together, a mm-hmm. ton of play action pass, which I love for Lamar, mm-hmm. some easy completions, like use the players. Like they got Zay Flowers now, which I thought was a good addition. I think Odell's really good. I mean, he's got to be healthy, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I think if Todd Monken can do what he did at Georgia, that design of that offense will be great for Lamar Jackson. And of course, they're still going to mix in the quarterback runs and there's mm-hmm. some things you have to do with him. But the Ravens got a quarterback who's returning healthy, who just wins football games. Like that to me is very important. And they got him back happy, signed him up, and they improved the offensive coordinator, which I think has been the gripe for all of us for so many years, is that offense was very stale, especially in the passing game.
Yep.
Their offensive line is back healthy, which is not really like a thing they did per se, but getting everyone back healthy and kind of solidifying that offensive line, that to me is good offseason. Like, they ended up getting a player back who helps them win football games at a very high rate.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. No question. Solving the Lamar situation, not just for this year, but also for, you know, the next few years to come. Like, there's not going to be any conversations about, are we moving on from Lamar? Do we need to upgrade on Lamar? That conversation is done for years to come. And I think that's a huge positive for the Ravens. What I find sort of curious about the Ravens, a team where we sort of figure, you pencil them in every year, okay, they're going to have a great defense. I have more questions about the defense right now than I do about the offense. And they brought back Roquan Smith. They signed him to an extension after trading for him last year. But pass rush is really going to come down to Odafe Owe and David Ojabo. Yep. You know, two guys who were draft picks, who Ojabo was hurt last year, but guys who need to sort of be the primary pass rushers for this team. And cornerback, I think, is a question mark. Marcus Peters is gone. They bring in Rocket Sin from the Raiders, who not been a big Rocket Sin guy over the course of his career. You know, you got to figure good at safety. They trade Chuck Clark. They have Kyle Hamilton, the first round pick, moving into a full-time role next to Marcus Williams. Still have Marlon Humphrey, who of course is a very, very talented corner when he's on the field. But it kind of feels like, you know, that pass defense, the pass rush and the secondary is the one thing I'm looking at saying, you know, I'm waiting for the Ravens to make that one final move, whether it's Justin Houston, whether it's someone else, you know, to kind of give them that veteran pass rusher or veteran cornerback who, you know, would solidify that part of the roster.
Absolutely. The way I look at defense in the NFL now is if you have an elite level quarterback, you just have to be average on defense. Like, just be average. Mostly because I'm a Chiefs fan, I just beg for them to be average. Like, I'm just like, just be average and you win a Super Bowl. Guess what, guys? They were average and won a Super Bowl, right? Like, you just need to be average. Like, yeah, it's great if you're the number one defense in the NFL. It's fantastic. Of course, being better is good. But if you can just be average with an offense that's an upper echelon offense, I think you're fine in the NFL. Of course, if you're better, it's never a bad thing to be better. But I have a lower standard for like where I think defense needs to be if you have a good offense. Now, if you don't have a good offense, obviously, I hope you're going to match with your defense. But I think the Ravens can be a middle of the pack defense this year, which is probably good enough to win 10 or 11 games, get in the playoffs, and then anything can happen. We saw last year, anything could have happened in their playoff game without Lamar Jackson.
Oh, that's true.
So absolutely. That's why I think, like, to me, I you're perfectly right. Like, they just defense, a lot of question marks, but I think we agree they can be average, right?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly.
And that feels good enough.
I just, you know, I have that fear of, okay, they get the Bengals, they get the Bills, they get the Chiefs in the postseason, and that's where, you know, that's the big question mark for them. Let me ask you, I'll finish up with the Ravens here. Do you think they are the best team in the AFC North?
No, I think it's the Bengals still.
Yeah, I agree.
Would I wager on the Ravens to win the North? Absolutely. I think it's a good wager. You get some plus money, you're probably getting a good wager there. Mm-hmm. But the Bengals to me and I talked about this a lot last year in relation to Kansas City. The Bengals don't lose football games. Like, you know what I mean, Bill? Like, they don't make dumb mistakes. They don't have bad turnovers. They don't have bad penalties. They're never giving up a 50-yard play on defense because they're out of position, right? Like, they don't do dumb things. They play smart football. And especially last year when they decided to ditch kind of the bad parts of their offense, just, let's run what we're good at. Yep. What a surprise. Like, that kind of works better, right? And I think the Bengals are the best team in the North. However, again, I go back to, like, the Ravens win a lot of football games when Lamar's playing. And so I think it's not a bad wager for them to win the AFC North, even though I would pick the Bengals.
Yeah, I think definitely on the offensive side of the ball, the Bengals don't make, you know, really sort of foolish mistakes. I think they're very smart with how they approach things on that side of the football. And you got to figure, you know, they get Jamar Chase hopefully back for a full season this year. That can only help them as well. Do you want to give me another team whose offseason you were a fan of?
Yeah, so I know this is not the answer people will expect, but I'm going to explain why. I like what Arizona did this offseason.
Okay.
I component of admitting failure and deciding to do something about it, right? Because here, Bill, in the NFL, you want to be, in my opinion, one of two spots. Going for it, right? Like you're good enough to go for the championship or be really bad and rebuild, okay? The middle is the worst part to be. Winning eight games, nine games, for your fan base, I'm looking at you, like New Orleans, like, okay, fine. Like, your fan base will say, yay, we won nine games. But like, what are you really doing? Are you winning a championship with Derek Carr?
No,
you're not. Like, just admit that it hasn't worked post Drew Brees, and we're going to tear it down and we're going to just start over, because that's how you get to where you need to be for the most part. Now, of course, there are other situations when that doesn't happen and you just kind of rebuild on the fly. But Arizona's admitting, they've admitted, new general manager, new coach, we got to just start over again. Mm-hmm. We're tearing it down. We're using our draft picks. We're getting more draft picks for next year, guys.
Yes.
I cover the Pac-12 for a living. I watch every snap of Caleb Williams last season. He is as good as they say he is. Now, comparing to Pat Mahomes, I think when you always compare someone to maybe the best ever, it's a little rough. It's a little tough to swallow. But he is that good. He's really that good. And I know tanking is hard. And I've been on a team in the 2010 Panthers. That tanked. We tried to tank. We're 2-14. It worked. We got Cam Newton. The way you tank is not on Sundays, not on Mondays, and not on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. It's by having the worst roster in the NFL. That's how you tank, right? It's having a terrible roster, which we actually didn't have in Carolina. Pretty funny. But we had a bad quarterback. That's also a way to tank, right? And Arizona does not have Kyler Murray to start the season. I don't think he'll play much this season. I think purposely they will slow walk him back.
Of course.
They want to be bad. I said earlier this offseason, I don't think he ever plays for Arizona again. The contract makes it tough to trade him next year. But I think Arizona's like, guys, we suck. It's okay to admit that we're not any good. Let's sort of like get rid of everyone and get ready to be really bad this year. And hopefully it pays off and we'll get, by the way, Drake May is really good at UNC also. Mm-hmm. And I like that they did this, Bill. I think we should give props to teams that admit that being in the middle is not a place to be, and let's be bad for a year and rebuild.
Absolutely. No question. And I think I find it sort of confusing when I see teams sort of go half measures. Like I look at Tennessee this year, for example, who I had last in my rankings. And I don't love, I understand, okay, you want to refresh, you get rid of some veterans who were not playing at a high level, who were struggling with injuries, but you still have Ryan Tannehill in the final year of his deal. You still have Derrick Henry in the final year of his deal. Like, are those guys going to be enough with a really refreshed roster, with a kind of iffy last 5 or 6 years of drafting that lets you to fire your GM? Like, is there going to be enough in that core for you to be a Super Bowl contender? And maybe they're looking at the 2021 year when they won 13 games and they were the top seed. But that was a 2 years ago, and it was a different caliber of roster around those guys. You know, I understand Arizona being more aggressive. I think you're 100% correct in terms of them slow playing Kyler Murray's return to the lineup. And you're 100% correct in terms of the quality of this roster. I mean, I think some of the moves they made were positive. Like this, when they did spend money, it was, okay, we're going to upgrade our offensive line. We're going to invest in things that, you know, are going to keep whoever our quarterback is alive for the entire season. And hopefully those guys will stick around for Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams or Drake May, whoever else it is in 2024. But, you know, I think that trade with Houston is so significant for the Cardinals, because now, like, it's not crazy to imagine a scenario where the Cardinals have the top two picks in the draft next year, where they have the ability to either draft one of those quarterbacks you mentioned, draft Williams, draft May. They have the ability to, you know, trade away one of those picks or trade away both of those picks to teams who might want a quarterback after getting that Houston first round pick. So that could be like, that could be a legitimate Herschel Walker trade caliber of draft picks. If you make trade away both the number one and the number two picks, if you want to move forward with Kyler Murray, or of course, like you alluded to, they could just say, hey, we're good with Caleb Williams, we're going to trade away Kyler Murray. You know, they have so much flexibility after, you know, a very rough season that I think it's not ideal. You don't want to be tanking. You don't want to be stuck in that situation, but given the cards they were dealt heading into the offseason, I think they ended up in a much better spot than where they started. And I think that's a huge compliment to, you know, that organization being honest with themselves, self-scouting well and saying, hey, that's what we need to do to move forward here, not just for 2023, but for the next 5-10 years to be a better organization.
And they drafted a left tackle in the draft too. Like they got like an upper echelon tackle and they got the draft pick. Like to me, they did exactly what they wanted to do. And I like it.
Absolutely. No question. I love what Arizona did this offseason. Give me one more team you were fond of this offseason.
So I'm not going to go in like obvious directions. Like I could say the Jets. I mean, like, come on. I got Aaron Rodgers. Of course they did well. But I've been pretty harsh on the Colts the last couple of years because I feel like Chris Ballard, general manager, gets a lot of praise.
He does.
In the media for what? Like what? I'm like your job is to get a quarterback. Like that's what your job is. A coach is a general manager is to find a franchise quarterback. And since Andrew Luck retired, I felt like they just were hoping he'd walk back in the door and he'd be their solution to quarterback. It's 1 year deals with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan. And this year they finally admitted, okay, how about we get a quarterback for once? Like a real viable long-term quarterback. And Anthony Richardson, the more I think about this draft, I think he'll be the best quarterback.
Wow.
I just, you know, I was wrong about Josh Allen. And you should never, I think, about, you know, kind of look at outliers as being like the reason you do something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I saw those videos of Bryce Young behind his offensive line in Carolina. And like, he's going to get hurt, man. Like he's tiny, man. He's so Richardson is huge, right? We know that he is a big kid. He's got a big arm. And the quotes I hear so far about their expectations in year one are great, Bill. They're like, you know what? He might throw for 100 yards, he might also rush for 115, and we're fine with that, right? Like we understand what we're getting in year one, and Shane Steichen, the new head coach, has worked with a young Justin Herbert, with a young Jalen Hurts. Like he has been in those meeting rooms, in those buildings with quarterbacks that have the skill set of Anthony Richardson. Herbert doesn't run as much, but he can run. Like he's got a giant arm, so is Richardson. And there's a lot of refining for Richardson. I'm not saying he's going to be great in year one, but they finally admitted, like we need a freaking quarterback, a young quarterback, a highly talented quarterback, a highly skilled quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I just like what I'm hearing from them. I know it's the off season, but the plan that they have said out loud seems the way that I would project him to play this year and moving forward. And I like that they're just saying that, like, yeah, it ain't going to be perfect, but he's so physically gifted. We'll put him out there. I imagine he starts at some point. Gardner Minshew probably doesn't, you know, starts at camp, but Richardson Torrey takes over at some point. And then guess what? We have 1 year under our belt, and we head in next year with a good roster and a quarterback that we feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think setting expectations appropriately is important. And I think they're in a position where, you know, Shane Steichen had an imperfect quarterback in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts. Of course, he was not the only guy building the game plan, building the scheme there, but we saw an offense that played to Jalen Hurts' strengths. And Jalen Hurts got much better over the course of his 3 years in Philadelphia, you know, especially the last couple of years after, you know, Steichen and that staff came in. And I'm hoping that what we see for Anthony Richardson is a lot of stuff that makes his life easier, a lot of RPOs, a lot of, you know, path field concepts, a lot of quarterback run game, a lot of stuff where, you know, he's going to build his confidence, you know, and sort of not be in a position where he has to read the entire field or he has to go through, you know, four steps of a progression. It's just not where he's at yet. He could be that guy in a couple of years. And I think as you build his confidence, he can get to that point. But my question for you, Jeff, and you're the offensive line expert here,
they're going to be good on that floor.
But it was so bad last year. Do you think they're better in 2023?
And this is one thing where I've also kind of been on Chris Ballard is like, you haven't addressed left tackle or quarterback.
Right. Those are important positions.
And Bernard Raymond, to me, he struggled last year. It was pretty predictable. He has not played much offensive line at a high level.
Right.
He has short arms. Like, those are legitimate concerns. I still have concerns, I think, for him this season. So that is a problem. But they have a quarterback that can run away from the guys. And so you at least feel more comfortable with having that option. Plus, Bill, we know this. You can design an offense that protects your offensive line and gets yards. Now, are you winning a Super Bowl with that offense? Probably not, right? But you can build a successful offense in year one for Anthony Richardson without dropping back 400 times in a dropback and putting Bernard Raymond on an island. Right. And then you can address left tackle. And in free agency, it's kind of tough because they don't come available very often. But you can address it in the draft next year, which is a great tackle draft. It looks, at least at the top, like it's setting up pretty well if you kind of project it the next year. Mm-hmm. And you have the ability to maybe correct some of those issues if Raymond doesn't become the guy. But you can design an offense that really protects the left tackle. Are you going to be great on third and long? I don't know. Maybe not. But Bill, we see it all the time, right? Like there's no surprise when teams do this. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm not as concerned about left tackle, even though I still think there still needs to be a long-term solution there. It's probably not going to be Raymond. I think Raymond probably plays guard at some point. Mm-hmm. They find themselves another tackle. But Nelson healthier, Kelly healthier. Like there were some injury problems last year that if everyone's back healthy, I think that fixes a lot of it.
Mm, for sure. No question. That helps. And yeah, like you said, you know, doesn't have to be the solution for the rest of his life. They can make upgrades over the offseason, the next couple of years, certainly at left tackle. But like you said, this is a guy in Raymond who's not been an offensive lineman for very long. He's learning on the fly at an extremely difficult position at the highest possible level in football. That's a scary place. So I think, you know, they have to be smart. I remember with Mac Jones that first year in New England, their tackles were questionable. And that their game plan on third and long was kind of comical almost. It was draw, screen, quick game. It was get the ball out of Mac Jones's hands so he doesn't get destroyed because he's going to get hit if we have him back there for a long period of time. And, you know, that helped. It didn't help the offense in terms of the short term, but it kept Mac Jones on the field. And I think that's what the Colts maybe have to do with Richardson. But like you said, he's a different kind of player. He can run away from stuff.
And you can design a third down offense around him. Like what I think the Eagles doesn't get talked about enough that I think they do really well. They run the ball in third and medium, Bill. Yep. And I love it. It works so well. Why do more teams not run the ball in third and medium?
You know why? Because the Eagles are a little different when it comes to other teams with what they're willing to do on fourth down, right?
Well, that's absolutely correct. But they also get a bunch of first downs on third and medium running the football. Because you have teams that are rushing up the field that have light box counts, that have light, you know, they take out a linebacker or two of them and put in two safeties. Like,
No question.
Like, run the ball in third and medium. And I think with Anthony Richardson at quarterback, and your offensive line, again, the interior three, most, you know, and with Shane Steichen to call in plays, they might do some of those things. And that lessens the impact of having to pass protect on third and six.
They should. No question they should. And I mean, Carolina, I feel like, did this during the Cam era, where they were a little aggressive running the ball on third and medium, even before Ron saw the light and started going for it on fourth down.
Riverboat Ron.
Riverboat Ron, the good old days. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country. There is no competition. And right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a Jet's Pizza location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, let's hit the negative side of things here. We were very positive about these teams. Still some questions, of course, but I think a lot to like about what they did this offseason. Let's go to the other side of the coin and some of these teams you were not optimistic about.
So I was not going to do the Giants because Giants fans already don't like me, and I figured this was going to make it worse. I'm not going to do the Giants because I'm with you there. So you have Washington Commanders having the best offseason, right? In your article. And that's mostly the owner's side, right?
Because that is, that owner, is which, 100% ownership.
Which I have Washington Commanders fans in my life. They are like overjoyed, like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. However, what are we doing at quarterback, Commanders?
Like, it's true.
What are we doing? And to me, they had a bad offseason. Like we've talked in the three teams I like mostly about quarterbacks, right? Lamar, Arizona getting someone else, and the Colts did. Mm-hmm. The Commanders have a pretty good roster. I don't know if you guys paid. Their roster's really good. They have a lot of good football players, but you have Sam Howell quarterback. What are you gonna do? You're gonna win 8-9 games at the most. Mm-hmm. And what are you gonna do next year? Run back a middle of the pack quarterback again?
Right.
Like, what's the plan at quarterback? Look, in the NFL, franchise quarterbacks, for the most part, mm-hmm. the majority are drafted in the first and second round. Yes. Okay. Now, every now and then you have a Russell Wilson, a Dak Prescott, a Kirk Cousins, who not even on the same team anymore, right? He had to go a different team to be a franchise quarterback. Sam Howell, the chances that he becomes your guy are minuscule. They're 1%, probably less than that he becomes an upper echelon quarterback in the NFL. In your division alone, you have the fourth worst quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing, Washington? Like, to me, you have to admit, okay, we have to go get someone to be our guy. You're too good to stink. Like, your roster's too good to run with Sam Howell, in my opinion.
Yeah, they were a playoff team last year with better quarterback play. I mean, Carson Wentz was a mess. Taylor Heinicke played a chunk of the year. He was, you know, hot and cold. But they were, I think, sixth. They were in the top six in the NFL in points per possession allowed. So they were a legitimate playoff caliber defense, and they're off. They were sort of the NFC version of the Jets. And I like Jacoby Brissett. I think he was good in Cleveland last year, but they're not talking about Jacoby Brissett as, oh, he's going to be the obvious starter. They're talking about Sam Howell as being the guy. Like, it feels like it's not going to be a competition. It's going to be Sam Howell's job to lose. And, you know, in addition to everything you said about the chances of, you know, quarterbacks breaking out of, you know, or sort of, you know, the chances of a fifth round pick turning into a above average upper echelon NFL caliber starter, like, what basis do we have? What basis does Ron Rivera and that staff have for having faith in Sam Howell? Their quarterback situation was bad last year, and to my recollection, I could be remembering this story wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is accurate. The only reason Sam Howell even played one game a year ago is that Taylor Heinicke was going to get the week 18 start and told Ron Rivera, you know, you should give Sam a chance. He deserves it. He's been here working hard all year, which is very nice of Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah.
But Sam Howell, they won that game against the Cowboys. They blew out the Cowboys, but Sam Howell was 11 of 19. Like, I get he hit a deep throw or two. You know, good for him. He was poised, obviously, in his first start. But, like, are we really going to base the future of the franchise or the decision that we're making about 2023 on one start? Like, I you know, it feels very Matt Flynn Seahawks to me, where it's like, you know, okay, like, yeah, he was good in that game, but Matt Flynn was incredible in that one game a few years ago, but, like, you know, is that really enough to not bring in more significant competition? So, you know, I think Brissett ends up playing here, and I think if Brissett starts 17 games and he's healthy and he plays the way that he did in Cleveland a year ago and they get the defense they had a year ago, they could be a playoff team. But I just think they're going to give Sam Howell like 10 starts, and I just don't think it projects to be the sort of passer that is going to push Washington into the postseason in a year, by the way, Jeff, where it feels like probably Ron Rivera is coaching for his job.
Yes. Well, even Jacoby Brissett, like, what does that do for you? He's a great quarterback if you have an injury to your starter. Yep. Right? Like, if you needed someone to come
or your starter gets suspended for 12 games.
Fair, yes. And he did a commendable job in Cleveland last year, and it was fantastic, right? Like, he did a great job. And he deserves all the accolades, and I hope he gets paid, all those things that they're great about what he did last season. Knowing, by the way, he was playing until a quarterback came back from suspension. Like, yep. He knew this was happening. Nonetheless, that's still not good enough to me. And again, because you have a good roster, and you're not taking advantage of this good roster. It'd be one thing if your roster stunk, but guys, they have a good roster. They have a good football team outside of the most important position in all sports.
Absolutely. No question. And it kind of feels like they're sort of stuck waiting, you know, like it feels like they're waiting for the sale to happen. You got to figure there are going to be more significant changes. I really wonder, you know, if they had been sold in February, I really wonder if they would have taken a swing on Lamar. If, you know, the idea of taking Lamar away from your local rivals and, you know, maybe they wouldn't have got him. I think the Ravens probably would have matched anyway, but
I have the opposite opinion about that. I think really? I thought that Daniel Snyder would try to like not screw the NFL, but like give Lamar this like ridiculously guaranteed contract just to be like, screw you guys on the way out. Here's $500 million for you, Lamar Jackson, guaranteed.
Been,
like,
I mean, if I was Lamar, I would have been trying to befriend Daniel Snyder to get him to do that.
I thought there was like one big F you to the NFL again. It was like giving this guaranteed deal that no one wants to do. And just saying, yep, we're doing it. I thought that was the way that might go down.
That would have been great. I would have loved that. Give me another team whose offseason you were disappointed by.
I mean, the Lions, like, I know we're just being a dead horse with this one. But I want them to be good. I like Dan Campbell. I like what they've done in the trenches, especially.
Yeah.
But the draft was made no sense to any of us, right? We understand that. And I just, the quarterback position to me, again, you're sort of in no man's land, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a hard place to be in the NFL. And I don't know what they could have done other than, I guess, draft a quarterback this year and try to go get yourself someone, which I think would have been a plus for me. Mm-hmm. And then I would have been like, yeah, good job. But the vision, what is the vision? Like, what's the vision for next year? Is Jared Goff really going to be the guy next year? Like, is he the long-term solution? His best season in last four, I'm looking at the numbers right now, his best year without Sean McVay. Is he your guy, really? Like, he's what you're banking this is a good roster. Like, what's the vision, Bill? Like, what are you selling your fan base? That we're winning with Jared Goff?
I think you're sort of getting... You're falling in love with what you saw from the second half last year, right? Like where they were 1-6, they finished 9-8, so they go 8-2 down the stretch. They missed the postseason. They lost that game to Carolina, which is just a brutal loss for the Lions to lose that game where, you know, one of the weakest teams in football and you get blown out by two touchdowns. But I don't know how sustainable that second half was. I mean, they turned the ball over 5 times in a loss to the Cowboys in October. They turned the ball over 4 times over the entirety of the second half of the season. It's just hard to do that, whether you're Jared Goff. And like, I know absolutely what you're saying about Jared Goff. I think he is just good enough for you to convince yourself he's someone worth keeping around and just bad enough that you're never going to be satisfied with him. And I think at 28, you know, could he be a guy who takes a leap forward outside of LA and, you know, works in a heavy play action offense? And I think everyone likes what Ben Johnson's done with that offense, and he has a great offensive line to play behind, and maybe the receivers are great if Jameson Williams does, you know, come back from his gambling suspension and kind of, you know, play well. But
what happens when Johnson leaves after the season? to be a head coach somewhere, right?
They have to nail the head coaching hire for sure, the offensive coordinator hire for sure. And I think that's the difficult part here is, you know, I think the question for them is sort of the same question we had for the Saints, which is what are you aiming for? Because if you're aiming to just win the division in 2023, Jared Goff makes sense. And going out and getting a running back and an off-ball linebacker in the first round makes sense because those were holes on your roster. You had immediate problems and you plugged them. Great. But if your hope is to win a Super Bowl, Jared Goff made it to a Super Bowl and he was a mess in that game with, you know, with much better personnel around him and, you know, a famous head coach calling plays, and they didn't have answers on offense. And Jared Goff was not someone who was going to create those answers in that game for himself and for that offense. And, you know, are you going to have the edge rushers after Aiden Hutchinson? Are you going to have the cornerbacks when, even after you rebuild your secondary this year, you know, two of the three pieces you added in the veterans are free agents after this season? Do you have that long-term solution at cornerback? Is wide receiver settled? Amon-Ra St. Brown is awesome. Jameson Williams is exciting, but we've barely seen Jameson Williams play. You know, there's just so many questions about these sort of things you have to fill in this offense. And on this, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, to get this to be a Super Bowl caliber team as opposed to a fun team that could win the division. And I think this was their window. Like, the Packers are rebuilding, the Vikings, I think everyone expects to decline this year. The Bears are rebuilding. Like, this could have been your 2-year window where you were the best team in this division and you built a championship caliber team, and they just didn't take advantage of it. And I, you know, it's a bummer because there was really so much to like about the position they were in heading into this offseason.
And I don't think Hayden Hooker is going to be the guy. I think that's you hope, but he's going to be 26 years old off an ACL injury. And he played an offense at Tennessee with Josh Heupel that it just doesn't produce a ton of quarterbacks, right? Like, it's just not, it's, they play so fast, so up tempo. The transition's tough. And now you're doing off an injury. I don't know. I know Lions fans will tell me that Hayden Hooker is the guy for the future. But okay, I'll go back to my point again. Third round quarterbacks. How many of them are franchise quarterbacks?
Especially 25-year-olds who are coming off of a torn ACL. Like, it's just, again, is it possible? Of course, anything is possible in the NFL. But the odds are certainly against it. Like, you know, you can't treat it as a definite. You have to treat it as a, if this works out, great. It's a bummer. You know, like, it's easy to root for them. Everyone, I think, was excited to see them turn things around.
I love their offense. It's so much fun to watch.
Of course. And two things can be true, right? It can be a fun offense to watch. You can also wish that they had made bigger swings here in this offseason to try and build a Super Bowl contender in the years to come. All right. Give me one more of your least favorite offseasons from 2023.
The Raiders. I mean, this one's not very difficult, right? Like, this is not very hard. You know, I mocked the Raiders a lot as a Chiefs fan, and I've made fun of Derek Carr countless times. He also blocked me on Twitter for no reason. Like, I don't know why. Maybe that's why. But, like, he's a top 12 quarterback. Like, he ain't a bum. He's not a bum. And you traded him away, or you released him essentially, right? And he went to the Saints. Okay, fine. And then we get the report. You signed Jimmy Garoppolo. Great. Oh, for a year? And then he's hurt? Like, what's the plan? If you're trying to be bad, okay. Like, if you're the Cardinals and you're trying to be bad, okay, great. But I don't think they're trying to be bad. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, they're not trying to be bad, Bill. They're trying to win. And I'm looking at the depth chart right now. Okay. Max Crosby, elite pass rusher. Like, one of the better players in that position. You could argue the best sort of, hand in the ground pass rusher, right? Mm-hmm. Davante Adams, great. Josh Jacobs, awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Like, what? Like, the roster's not any good.
Right.
You had a quarterback that has a broken foot still. They can't even clear a physical. And we're trying to win. Again, if you're not trying to win, please put your hand up and let me know, and I'll put you in the Arizona Cardinals category, which is purposely trying to be bad to get a quarterback next year. Also, you know, there's a possibility Tom Brady walks in the locker room in 4 months and is a starting quarterback too. So that might change my opinion on the Raiders, but I think their roster's not good enough where Tom even considers that. But, like, what are we doing, Raiders? What's the plan? Are you Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and whatever quarterback Sean Payne will have in two seasons? Like, that's what you're going against.
I mean, that's what it feels like, right? It feels like, you know, last year when they traded for Davante Adams, I was so skeptical of that move. Not because of Adams, although I think he's going to get worse as, you know, now he's 30, as his contract goes on, as he, you know, is further away from Aaron Rodgers. But sort of the idea of, okay, like, you added a star receiver, no question he's a good player, that doesn't get you where you need to go. You're not as good as you looked last year. You beat a bunch of backup quarterbacks or COVID-compromised quarterbacks to make it into the playoffs. You were rebuilding before that. You have so many bad draft picks, top 100 picks from the Gruden era who either didn't pan out or can't stay healthy or aren't even in football anymore because of their off-field behavior. Like there's a disconnect between what you see with this roster on paper and on the field on Sundays versus where the people running it kind of perceive this roster to be. And it felt like Derek Carr was scapegoated, frankly,
yes,
for the problems last year. It felt like they, you know, they gave him that fake contract extension. It felt like they were waiting for either Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady to become available so they could move on from Derek Carr. And maybe you understand, okay, well, they create some cap space. You know, Garoppolo is cheaper than Derek Carr, and so maybe you can use that money elsewhere. But it feels like they have their solution to any problem right now is just bring in some more Patriots. So they go out and sign Jimmy Garoppolo. They sign Brian Hoyer. They sign Jacoby Myers. And like, you know, hey, Patriots are a good football team. You know, there's nothing wrong with bringing in players from good football teams. But frankly, if Bill Belichick was that desperate to keep Jacoby Myers around, with given their receiving core, he would have kept him around. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, Brian Hoyer, you know, we've seen what those guys are, good and bad. They trade up for Aiden O'Connell in the draft. They trade up for Michael Mayer. You know, Corian Bennett, they traded up for, excuse me. They traded up twice in the draft when they're already down draft capital. They're missing draft picks from years before. Yeah. Like they just, you just like it's the Cardinals thing, right? They just need to accept we're not it, and we're not going to be it, especially in that division with that those teams across from us. Like they're not a year away. They're not 3 years away. Like they are best case scenario is what happened in 2021, where they get an easy schedule down the stretch. They squeak their way to 9 wins. They convert a 3rd-and-11, you know, in overtime and make it to the postseason. And they gave the Bengals a scare. They were, you know, they played well in that postseason game, but like they're just not close. And not saying they should trade everyone and be, you know, the Dolphins from a couple of years ago, but I think they need to start being realistic about how far away they are from competing and how they need to amass draft picks and, you know, build the sort of team that the Patriots would build. Bill Belichick, you know, his solution is not to trade 1st and 2nd round picks for Davante Adams. His solution is not to go out and sign a bunch of players in free agency. When he did, it wasn't a long-term solution. It was a short-term solution that failed last year. They have to take stock of where they are and start over. And I don't know if they're going to under Josh McDaniels. Maybe this year will be the time they do it if Garoppolo's not healthy and they do end up being a 4 or 5 win team. But they're just, it feels like they are years away from even recognizing what they are.
Yep. And I drafted a pass rusher in the 1st round with a foot injury. Like that.
Maybe they just don't value feet. Maybe they're just thinking, you know, feet are overrated.
Like, I get Tyree Wilson. I like this film. That's not a knock on Tyree Wilson. He could be the best pass rusher in this draft. But again, like, you used a high value draft pick on a player with a medical injury. Like, that teams probably took off their draft board. They're like, I'm not doing that. I mean, Seattle needed a pass rusher in the worst way and didn't draft Tyree Wilson. And Jalen Carter's a different situation. But you know what I mean? Like, teams that have success with these positions are like, yeah, I'm not doing it.
Right.
And I don't know what the Raiders would have done. Maybe they trade out. Maybe they try to trade out of that position. Just couldn't do it. But I just – give me a direction, man. Either be bad or try to be good with a good roster. This middle ground to me is always a no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, again, I think it's – be smart about where you are relative to the teams around you. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't try and compete if you have a great quarterback in your roster. You're going to be waiting a decade if you're waiting for Mahomes to not be part of the Chiefs. But I think just be smart. You know, if you're going to have to retool, retool. If you're going to have to rebuild, rebuild. But it doesn't feel like they have any solution besides just adding more Patriots to the mix, hoping that solves their problems. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think there's a decent chance that Josh McDaniels is not there at the end of the season, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo misses a chunk of the year with his foot injury.
I don't think he will be.
I would be surprised. But we will see. Certainly a lot more to come, not only during the NFL season, but also during the NFL offseason. But Jeff, you mentioned, of course, you're focused on college football. Yes. Where can people check out everything you do during the offseason?
So, I mean, my Twitter is the best way, at Jeff Schwartz, but my podcast, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. You can find kind of my work there. I'm on the radio. But again, my Twitter pretty much provides you with all my links, my content, and kind of where I'm at with everything I do. I cover a lot of gambling and college football in the NFL as well. So, yeah, my Twitter and my podcast.
Jeff, thank you, my friend.
Take care, bud. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much to Jeff Schwartz. Definitely one of the, you know, like smart, of course, but I think smart also combining, you know, what he's learned from playing the game at a high level, but also, you know, sort of contextualizing what we are trying to learn or understand from the outside. I mean, I don't know how many offensive linemen would criticize a team for taking a running back in the first round, but Jeff is a very special person to me for just doing just that in his analysis of the Lions. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Sorry if you did not love the offseason rankings. We will see. Certainly, I've gotten plenty of stuff wrong before, and I'm sure I'll get some stuff wrong this time. But just my thoughts on where the NFL offseasons went. Hope you guys enjoyed it if you were not a fan of the teams I had at the very bottom. But more NFL stuff on the way, of course, in the weeks to come here in the offseason. Plenty of written content over on ESPN and ESPN Plus, and plenty of audio here on the Bill Barnwell Show. Also, some TV stuff. I have been hopping up on SportsCenter and NFL, be on NFL Live tomorrow on Friday, and then I believe I'm hopping on Get Up a couple days next week. So keep your eyes peeled for that, but more on the way here on the Bill Barnwell Show.